RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. The People's Consultative Assembly MPR causes about proposal for amendment to Constitution. The Maritime Security Board Bakamla to procure new patrol boats in 2017. Now, the news in detail. The People's Consultative Assembly MPR has been cautious in responding to a call for amendment to the 1945 Constitution as it is related to the nation's stability and future. As quoted from Antara News, MPR Deputy Chairman Mahyudin said, on the sidelines of activities to familiarize the public with the Assembly's four pillars on Saturday that MPR is still studying comments from various elements of the country. He added that most of the comments suggest that the nation revive a broad outline of state policy to ensure that the direction of national development will become more focused and well-guided. Mahyudin noted that a broad outline of state policy, or GPHN, was replaced with a medium-term national development plan and government work plan after the reform movement was launched. He remarked, as a medium-term national development plan is based on the president's vision and mission, any change in regime would also lead to a change in government policy, and some of the comments have proposed that the nation should return to the original 1945 constitution. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Sunday afternoon is slated to fly to India for a state visit between December 12, 2013-2016. The visit is meant as a reciprocal visit after Indian Prime Minister previously visited Indonesia in October 2013. The President is expected to arrive in New Delhi on Monday morning. Previously, Foreign Affairs Ministry reported that this visit is very important because India has a big cooperation potential with Indonesia. India is Indonesia's biggest trading partner in South Asia and the fourth biggest trading partner in the world. Trade volume between Indonesia and India in 2015 reached $414.45 billion. During the visit, President Joko Widodo is also expected to discuss Indonesia's export diversification to India with the Indian side. After visiting India, the president is also scheduled to fly to Iran on December 14 as a reciprocal visit after Iranian president visited Indonesia in April 2015. The Maritime Security Board, Bakamla, has announced a plan to purchase new patrol boats in 2017 to strengthen its patrol fleet in securing Indonesia maritime territory. As quoted from the Jakarta Post, Bakamla Chief Vice Admiral Arisa Dewa said in Jakarta that Bakamla has planned to buy four new patrol boats. The boats are designed differently than the boats of Indonesia's maritime counterpart like Navy or the National Police. Bakamla will procure two 110-meter boats and two 80-meter patrol boats. The new boats were designed to have forensic laboratories on board to allow the guard to test suspicious objects immediately during a patrol. Currently, Bakamla operates six patrol boats in the eastern and western zones of Indonesia's maritime territory. In 2017, Bakamla will get a budget of 955 billion rupiah or $71.5 million, a budget, and most of it will be spent on the four new boats which will be developed in the state-owned shipyard PT PAL. The National Police's Densus 88 Counter-Terrorism Squad has arrested two men and a woman in Bekasi, West Java for allegedly plotting a bomb attack at the State Palace in Central Jakarta. The first two suspects, identified only as NS and AS, were arrested around 3:40 p.m. on Saturday on the Kalimalang overpass, while the other suspect, a 27-year-old woman, identified only as DYN, was arrested 10 minutes later at a rented house in Bintara Jaya sub-district. From the house, the police found a high explosive bomb weighing around 3 kilograms packed into a rice cooker. Jakarta Police Spokesman Sergeant Commissioner Raden Prabowo Argo Yuwono said on Saturday evening that the bomb was to be detonated at the State Palace during the Presidential Security Detail's Pas Pampres handover ceremony on Sunday. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. PD Jaya Regency on Sunday afternoon was hit by another quake. The quake, measuring 4.3 in Richter scale, caused panic among residents and prompted them to go outside the buildings. As quoted from Tempo.co, head of Banda Aceh Geophysics, Meteorology and Climatology Agency, Eri Dawati, said that the quake was centered in PD Jaya and occurred at around 11:40 p.m. local time. She added that the location of the quake is at 540 north latitude, 96.17 west east, or around 23 km from Sigli PD Aceh at the depth of 20 km. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Archandra Tahar said that in 2017, the ministry is determined to reform bureaucracy in the energy sector. Archandra said in Jakarta on Saturday that the ministry will make the bureaucracy more simple. If possible, it will be focused on how to make use of the technology instead of dealing with administrative matters only. Minister Archandra added that to simplify bureaucracy, an online system is needed, and through the system, interaction among people can be reduced. He remarked that the ministry will also focus on commercial technology, where technology aspect drives commercial aspects. Archandra went on to say that in 2017, the ministry also aims to accelerate the 35,000 megawatt electrification project and begin electrification programs in 2,500 villages. The last item. The government plans to replace a cost recovery scheme in Indonesian oil and gas profit sharing contracts with gross profit sharing scheme by January in an attempt to simplify procedures for new investors in the country's declining sector. In Indonesia, the government owns oil and gas resources, but companies work to find these reserved and exploited as contractors under profit-sharing contracts. Under existing contracts today, contractors are eligible for reimbursement of their exploration costs as long as they find reserves suitable for commercial exploitation and use some local resources and labor in doing so. Under the proposed gross profit sharing, the government and contractors will agree up front on a proportion for splitting gross profit from the oil and gas exploration. Sujat Miko, a spokesman at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, said on Friday that by doing so, the goal to make business processes simpler and rising oil and gas investment will be achieved while still optimizing state revenues. Minister Archandra Thakur, the Deputy Energy and Mineral Resources Minister, said the ministry is working hard to issue the gross profit sharing rule in January. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, cautious about proposal for amendment to Constitution. The Maritime Security Board, Bakamla, to procure new petrol boats in 2017. That was the news.
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with news from Indonesia, which presents a variety of interesting information from across the country in a week. The first news comes from Kediri, East Java. Youth communities in Kediri, East Java held a fundraising to help victims of natural disaster in Aceh with musical performances. An earthquake measuring 6.4 on the Richter scale shocked the district of Pidijaya, Aceh on Wednesday, 7 December 2016. More than 100 people were killed and nearly 2,000 people were injured as a result of the earthquake. The activities coordinator, Olga Bimaskara, Thursday night said these activities were done spontaneously, involving a number of communities in Kediri. The fundraising was followed by a number of youth communities in Kediri. In addition, a number of musicians also participated in the event, which was held at the Kediri Regional Library Courtyard. The next news comes from Bogor, West Java. The Association of City Council Throughout Indonesia, or ADECSI, conducted a reforestation program by planting a number of trees in the forest of Bogor, West Java on Thursday. Mayor of Bogor, Bima Arya Sugiarto, said the regreening activities is the government's back to nature message for other areas. According to him, prior to 19, the number of bird species in the city of Bogor was recorded at 97 species. As urban development, population grew, and the number of birds is reduced and now is less than 50 species of birds that still exist. As a token of appreciation for the ADECSI concern in regreening Bogor City Forest, Bima dedicated the park with the name ADECSI Park, because it was for the first time that regreening action conducted by so many people. He hopes the trace of ADECSI members can be seen by the board of ADECSI in the future. To return to the city of Bogor and see plants that have been planted. Chairman of the Central ADECSI, Armuzi, added that the regreening activities carried out must be innovative and remembered by Bogor city community. He appealed to all parties to be involved in realizing sustainable development, starting from the planning, implementation, and evaluation. Well, listen, that was news from Indonesia of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1946. The United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, is established. The United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, is a United Nations program headquartered in New York City that provides humanitarian and developmental assistance to children and mothers in developing countries. It is one of the members of the United Nations Development Group and its Executive Committee. UNICEF was created by United Nations General Assembly on 11 December 1946. To provide emergency food and health care to children in countries that had been devastated by World War II. In 1953, UNICEF's mandate was extended to address the needs of children in the developing world and became a permanent part of the United Nations system. UNICEF was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1965 and the Prince of Asturias Award of Concord in 2006. Turning now to December 11, 1981, the El Mozote Massacre. El Mozote Massacre occurred in the village of El Mozote, El Salvador on 11 December 1981. More than 1,000 villagers died during the 1980 until 1992 civil war in the Central American country. Reportedly, this massacre is the worst war crimes in modern Latin American history. This slaughter was at its nadir in the Salvadoran Civil War that broke out in the country between 1970 and 1990. In December 2011, the government of El Salvador apologized for the incident. The last event is from 11 December 2013, the 27th Southeast Asia Games Open. The 27th Southeast Asia Games or SEA Games was held in Naypyidaw, the new capital of Myanmar. Official mascots of the South Asian sport event in 2013 were a pair of owls considered to be carriers of good luck. The male's name was Xiaoyu, while the female was named Mamu. Myanmar proposed to organize 35 sports, fewer than the number of sports at the 2011 Southeast Asian Games in Indonesia, which totaling 44 sports. This event opened on 11 December 2013. Thailand became overall champion of the 27th SEA Games in Myanmar. Well, listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Spotlights of the Week. The spotlight this week is on Indonesia wins World Halal Tourism Award 2016. Indonesia won 12 of the 16 categories contested in the World Halal Tourism Awards 2016, which took place in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, from October the 24th to November the 25th. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya welcomed the success through a written statement received by Republika Daily on Thursday, December the 8th. In these competitions, Indonesia sent representatives in 12 categories and all of them became champions. Minister of Tourism said, thus, Indonesia became the overall champion with 12 of the 16 categories, and this is something dramatic and extraordinary. He explained, in the first round, which lasted from October the 24th until November the 7th, Malaysia had seemed to excel in four core categories, which were also competed by Indonesian Lombok, Aceh, and West Sumatra. The Minister of Tourism then exerted all networks to help in the voting. Malaysia and Turkey has been known as legends in the world halal tourism, so these two countries had always stood out. However, in the last 2 years, Indonesia took over. Minister Arif Yahya, while congratulating the winners, also thanked the voters for their participation. He said this is not the end of the journey towards the best halal tourism. In fact, it is just a beginning to build a new ecosystem of halal tourism. Meanwhile, Head of Culture and Tourism of West Nusa Tenggara, Lalu Muhammad Fauzal, said the World Class Awards confirmed the position of Lombok, which in the previous year also won a similar award. The success also proves that the halal branding is fully supported and continued intensified by the West Nusa Tenggara provincial government. He explained the West Nusa Tenggara province systematically continued to develop halal tourism through many supporting factors ranging from the industrial side, the local government, to the promotion policy. The province success, according to Lalu Muhammad Fauzal, could not be separated from the participation of all elements such as local government and parliament, government institution, agencies, and public. However, the provincial government does not necessarily become complacent and will continue to disseminate to the public to be more concerned about the region that is now has become a tourist destination of both domestic and foreign tourists. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, has been cautious in responding to a call for amendment to the 1945 Constitution as it is related to the nation's stability and future. As quoted from Antara News, MPR Deputy Chairman Wahyudin said on the sidelines of activities to familiarize the public with the Assembly's four pillars on Saturday that MPR is still studying comments from various elements of the country. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Sunday afternoon is slated to fly to India for a state visit between December 12 to 13, 2016. The visit is meant as a reciprocal visit after Indian Prime Minister previously visited Indonesia in October 2013. The Maritime Security Board Bakamla has announced a plan to purchase new patrol boats in 2017 to strengthen its patrol fleet in securing Indonesia maritime territory. As quoted from Jakarta Post, Bakamla Chief Vice Admiral Ari Sudewo said in Jakarta that Bakamla has planned to buy 4 new patrol boats. The National Police's Densus 88 Counterterrorism Squad has arrested 2 men and a woman in Bekasi, West Java, for allegedly plotting a bomb attack at the State Palace in central Jakarta. The first 2 suspects, identified only as NS and IS, were arrested at around 3:40 p.m. on Saturday on the Kalimalang overpass, while the other suspect, a 27-year-old woman, identified only as DYN, was arrested 10 minutes later at a rented house in Bintara Jaya sub-district. PD Jaya Regency on Sunday afternoon was hit by another quake. The quake, measuring 4.3 in Richter scale, caused panic among residents and prompted them to go outside the buildings. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Archandra Tahar said that in 2017, the ministry is determined to reform bureaucracy in the energy sector. Minister Archandra said in Jakarta that the ministry will make the bureaucracy more simple. The government plans to replace a cost recovery scheme in Indonesian oil and gas profit-sharing contracts with gross profit-sharing scheme by January in an attempt to simplify procedures for new investors in the country's declining sector. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will invite you to East Lombok to enjoy the amazing Kalimantan Beach, so stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Listener, Kalimantan Beach is one of the not much known coastal tourist spots located in the southern part of Lombok. Precisely in Pomongkong village, Jeruwaru sub-district is Lombok West Nusa Tenggara province. The distance from the nearest airport to Kalimantan Beach is about 92 km and can be reached from Mataram City in about an hour by car, then continue towards the south through the Siku Sakra Keruak Jeruwaru Pomongkong Kalimantan with about 90 minutes additional travel time. The physical condition of Kalimantan Beach is characterized with very fine-grained sand and well-preserved coral reef, which is a popular object for snorkeling, plus adequate seaway for surfing. Kalimantan coastline is quite long, about 2 kilometers. The water surface is very calm, with waves quite far from the beach. The topography of the beach is somewhat unique. A combination of caves and some hills, what is special about this white sandy beach is very clean. Here you can enjoy it without being disturbed by the presence of garbage. Kalimantan Beach, which is approximately 2 to 3 hours from downtown Mataram, can be reached by private vehicle or a rental car. There is no public transportation though. Once you arrive there, you will be surprised because the atmosphere around this beach is so deserted. In the surrounding area, you will not see any shop or store. There are not many visitors and there is no hotel nor inn. Even the fishing activities or seaweed farmers cannot be seen here. It is so quiet and peaceful. Unfortunately, there aren't many trees either, so during the day you will feel the heat of the sun. But then the waves of the surface of the water are calm during the day, so you can expel the heat by swimming or snorkeling. For the beauty of the underwater scenes in Kalimantan Beach is quite remarkable. Towards the evening, the mood will change drastically. The scenery of very exotic sunset will make you reluctant to leave this beach. The beautiful sight in Kalimantan culminates towards the evening. The gold sunset, as you can watch from the beach, is unbelievably amazing. Especially since the beach is so deserted, it feels like being at your own private beach. To enjoy the beauty of Kalimantan Beach, it is recommended that you bring your own food and drinks because, as said before, here there are no stalls or shops. Do not forget to wear sunscreen and sunglasses as well as a hat or head covering. And another important thing is, do not swim too far because in this lonely beach, there is no lifeguard. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today featuring Kalimantan Beach in East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to our regular program, Miscellany. Today we are going to talk about Center of Science and Technology Excellence of Food Supports National Food Security. So stay tuned. Various measures have been taken by the government and relevant stakeholders related to food security or national food availability. One of them is by establishing the Center of Science and Technology Excellence. Director General of Institutional Science and Technology Research and Higher Education of the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Patno Suwiknyo, said that the Directorate of Research and Development Institute have been fostering 45 research institutes to become Center of Science and Technology Excellence. Some of them are in college and research institute non-college. Of the 45, 16 of them concentrated in the food sector. Some of food excellence products developed by the center include seed varieties and of Indonesian local fruits and food excellence products as rice, soybean, including post-harvest processing technology innovation. Candidates of Center of Science and Technology Excellence accompanied by the Institute for Research and Development for 3 years. Funding assistance given depends on the type of research being developed. For small-scale research, grant between 500 until 100 million per year for 3 years. Meanwhile, Director of Horticulture Research Center Bogor Agricultural University, Darda Effendi, said that Center for Tropical Horticulture IPB established and nurtured into Center of Science and Technology Excellence since 2013. The center has produced varieties of horticultural crops such as 7 varieties of papaya, 5 mangosteen varieties, 8 varieties of melon, pineapple varieties, 5 and 3 varieties of bananas. California papaya and pink crystal are products that have been commercialized. IPB is currently also developing chili, onion, and tomato. Darda added that Kalina papaya seeds has been able to encourage the development of agribusiness of papaya in Indonesia. This business starts to rise and there are many farmers who grow it. According to Darda, in 2015, the sales reached 5,000 Kalina papaya seeds pack containing 250 seeds per package. If it is assumed papaya trees that grow as much as 50%, it will produce 600,000 until 700,000 papaya trees. Center of Science and Technology of the Rice of the Ministry of Agriculture has produced, among others, irrigated rice varieties, rice tidal marsh, upland rice, rain-fed rice, and varieties of paddy plateau. While Center of Assorted Nuts and Tuber Research Institute for Arts, Beans and Tubers Ministry of Agriculture has produced a superior product in the form of soybean varieties rich in isoflavones. The center also produced Bibas is environmentally friendly biopesticides. Meanwhile, Center of Post-Harvest Agricultural Hall of the Ministry of Agriculture to develop local food such as a flour locally from bimoka, corn, sorghum, and processed food products such as noodles, local corn, sagu, instant rice, and sorghum rice. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today featuring Center of Science and Technology Excellence that supports food national security. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Nelcy Remedy Bidard in Brazil. We received his email on November 11, 2016. In his email, Mr. Nelcy Remedy Bidard said that he really likes to tune in shortwave. Hello, Mr. Nelcy Remedy Bidard. Nice to receive your email and thank you for monitoring our shortwave channel. We would be very happy if you also include your reception report of our broadcast. Therefore, we are able to know how the signal of our broadcast can be received in your country. Well, Mr. Nelcy Remedy Bidard, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Special for you and our regular listener, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. We'll be right back.
say my name three times right now. I will fall like a fire right to you. If you say that you need me, boy, then I will be right there. Baby, that's the way I love you. Oh, love so strong, I just know we'll feel so right. And I find out with you.
Listener, now we will replay an email from Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. He sent his email to our broadcast on November 20, 2016. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for listening back to our broadcast. We are really glad because you still love to monitor our radio. Yes, we also miss you and your reception report. We always wait for your reception reports of our broadcast from all listeners throughout the world. Well, Mr. Kalab Abbas, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
meratapi. Mimpi
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Mr. Mizan Rahman in Bangladesh. He listened to our broadcast in English program through November 3rd until 7, 2016. Averagely, the reception was good except on November 3rd, 2016. There was interfering station and other technical remarks. Hello, Mr. Mizan Rahman, how are you? Long time we have not received your email. We are glad because you not only monitor our radio, but also still pay attention to our broadcast. We will deliver your complaint to our technical division. Well, Mr. Mizan Rahman, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song special for you.
Just keep.
Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Dan dirimu sudah jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya. Ini asmaraku, ini asmaramu, tumbuh makin sempurna.
As I can bear recording, it is more than just physical attraction. Living over individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. The passion that is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me, and I'll be there for you. And I know you too, and I love you. So the world is falling apart.
Time, girl.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sungguhku tak bisa membayangkan bila hidup sendiri tanpanya di dunia. Mungkin aku bisa mati muda bila saja dia pergi dariku, tinggalkanku. Tuhan beri aku cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.